You already possess the same amount and quality of faith Jesus had when he physically walked on the earth. It's true. It's inside every blood-bought, born-again believer. Satan lies to Christians to keep them from understanding this. Yeah, they believe faith works, but they don't believe that they have enough of it. Listen, you have, right now, more than enough faith. You just need to use it.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, dear one. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you once again to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today, for the next few minutes, I want to talk with you about putting your faith to work. Now, you don't need more faith. That's right. So quit trying to get it. Loved one, if you are born again, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, you've already been given all the faith you will ever need. Right now, you have more than enough faith, but you just might be a little ignorant of what you've got and how to use it. I don't say that insultingly. I'm still learning. We're all learning. The disciples of Jesus had the same problem. Notice their response to Jesus' teaching in Luke 17, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read from the King James here. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus had raised people from the dead, opened blind eyes and deaf ears. He healed lepers, cast out demons, and done many other miraculous things no one else had ever done before. However, it was his command to continually forgive. Continually forgive. Not these other things that provoked the disciples to say, Lord, increase our faith. Oh, I don't know about this. Loved one, faith is for everyday life. It's not only to affect miraculous healing and financial deliverance. No. Although these things are important, your daily interpersonal relationships it's the relationships in your life that will place the greatest demand on your faith. You've missed it if you think faith is primarily for impossible situations, like when the doctor says you're going to die or you're facing bankruptcy. Faith certainly applies to your crises, but you need faith for the people you live and work with day in and day out, all week long. How else can you turn the other cheek when someone hurts you? It takes faith to always unconditionally love and forgive your coworkers, your spouse, your kids, your parents, and your neighbors. The disciples were so overwhelmed by Jesus' command to forgive, even up to 7 times in one day, that they exclaimed, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus answered in Luke 17, verse 6, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. In a sense, it appears as if Jesus really didn't answer their question. They had said, "Increase our faith," and he answered, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could do this." What the Lord was telling them was, guys, you don't need more faith. You don't have a faith problem. You just aren't using the faith you've already got. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds there is on the planet. It's so tiny that when you hold one between your thumb and index finger, it's hard to tell that you are there's even anything there in your fingers. Jesus said, if your faith is only this much, the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this big tree to be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. In other words, you don't need big faith or even more faith. You just need to learn how to use the faith you already have. Amen? Praise God. Most Christians today do not understand this concept. They believe faith works, but think theirs is deficient. That's deception from the evil one. Satan has blinded us to what we already possess from God. You already possess the same amount and quality of faith Jesus had when he physically walked on the earth. It's true. It's inside every blood-bought, born-again believer. Satan lies to Christians to keep them from understanding this. Yeah, they believe faith works, but they don't believe that they have enough of it. They think it comes and goes, ebbs and flows, sometimes strong, sometimes weak. It's like they can't get a handle on it, can't hold it, can't control it, because it's intangible. And dear one, that's a totally wrong attitude about faith. Listen, you have, right now, more than enough faith. You just need to use it. Amen? Amen. In verses 7 through 10 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus immediately launched into a parable to illustrate this meaning. If you understand that you already have faith and you need to use what you've got, then this parable makes sense. If you try to apply it in any other way, this parable doesn't make sense. The context indicates its meaning. Let's read. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus was saying, you need to use the faith you've already got. Even if it's only as big as a mustard seed, it's enough to cast a tree into the sea. You would put your servant to work if you owned one, wouldn't you? You already have faith. Now, dear one, put it to work. Servanthood and slavery were an everyday part of life in Jesus' day. If you owned a slave, you expected them to serve you. It didn't matter that they were tired and had come in from working all day in the fields. If it was supper time, you'd expect them to serve you your food. Their time to eat was after you were finished and satisfied. They didn't eat with you, and they definitely didn't eat before you. you were the master. But in today's touchy-feely, politically correct, woke mindset, most people would say, well, you shouldn't treat a servant that way. But in the time that Jesus spoke this parable, servants and slaves weren't pampered, they were used. You didn't just allow them to lie around and do nothing all day because you didn't want to impose on them. Neither were you kind and gentle with them. You commanded them to take care of your needs before they took care of their own. You didn't have to be mean and nasty about it, but as their master, you definitely gave them orders. If you had a slave, you put them to work. That was just the way it was in Jesus' day. So listen to me, loved one. Faith should be put to work, not pampered. Not using your faith is like allowing your slave to sit on the couch and do nothing but watch TV all day. Instead of growing stronger and more efficient through use, their muscles atrophy and their abilities become dull. And then you wonder why your faith isn't producing anything. You haven't put it to work. You're not using it. Start putting your faith to work the way a master uses his servant. It's not a matter of having the servant. It's a matter of not using what you've got. Most believers today, I'm sorry to say, are ignorant of the faith they already have. If I started giving you some testimonies of what faith has accomplished, there have been dead people raised in our day, in our time. There have been blind eyes that have been opened, deaf ears that have been opened. Miraculous provision, yes, in our day. You would say, praise God, I believe those things do happen. Now, if we were in a service where someone died and I would just say, how many here believe that the Lord can raise this person up? You would agree with me that it can be done. If I asked how many of you believe that if I pray this person will come back and the Lord will raise him up, you would continue agreeing with me totally. In fact, you'd probably work your way up to the front so that you could see this miracle happen. But I'd probably lose you and the majority of the people if I said, all right, if you believe this, you pray for them. Now, all of a sudden, your anticipation would turn to dread. Why? Because if you're like most people, you don't believe your faith is adequate. You don't doubt that faith works. You just don't believe that you have the quantity or quality of faith that you need. I could talk to most Christians. I could probably convince most Christians into saying, I just need more faith, and get them to pray, oh God, please give me more faith. But that would violate everything we've seen in the Word thus far. Loved one, again, you already have the measure of faith. You already have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living inside you right now. Loved one, you don't have a faith problem. You have a knowledge problem. You don't know what you've got, nor the laws that govern how it works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. This verse can be interpreted in at least two different ways. That, the word that, speaks of your salvation, which is a gift of God and not of yourself or of your own works. However, the word that can also mean the faith you actually used to receive salvation. That faith is also not of yourself, but it is the gift of God. Can you see it? Hallelujah! The faith it takes to receive salvation comes by hearing God's word. Romans 10, verses 14 through 17 tell us this: how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. You simply cannot believe unless you hear the word of God. God's words carry faith. Every word that comes out of your mouth is a container. Yes, I can say things that build you up and encourage you. I could even bring you to tears of joy through complimenting and praising you. However, I can also say things to tear you down and dishearten you. I could bring you to tears of sorrow, grief, hurt, pain, and anger. Words are powerful. Words contain either faith or unbelief. God's words are full of faith. God himself is faithful, and the words he has spoken are faith-filled. His words are little containers full of God's own faith and power. You can't believe God for salvation without first having God's word bring you to his faith. It truly takes a supernatural faith in order to be born again. Therefore, we do have God's supernatural faith inside us. And it doesn't come and go, ebb and flow. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. That's what it says in Romans 11:29. We just aren't using what we have. We're not using what we have. In fact, a lot of the gifts are going to waste. And it's not God's fault. We're not using what we have primarily because we don't know what we have. Dear one, please, I plead with you, dig into God's word for yourself. Begin in the New Testament. Read throughout the entire New Testament and see what belongs to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Someone listening here today, this might sound good to you, and something is stirring deep inside your heart right now. I want to tell you that that is the Spirit of the living God moving inside you, inside your heart, and he's drawing you closer to Jesus than ever before. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, that now is your appointed time. Loved one, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, what's stopping you? I beg you, please don't waste another moment of your life on foolish things and on sinful stuff. But come to Jesus right now. You can, right where you are, in a bar room, hotel room, your apartment, in a car, wherever you are listening. Come to Jesus right now. Open your heart and pray this prayer with all of your heart. Pray with me right now. Ready? Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, yes, pray it with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for all the sinful things I have done. Cleanse me, Jesus, with your precious blood from all sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus, and in my heart, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make him Lord of my life. and according to God's word, which cannot lie. I am washed. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. I am healed. I am reborn. And I will live for you, Jesus, and serve you all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. And it's in your holy name that I pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. If you've prayed that prayer with me with all of your heart, you are now a citizen of heaven. This is the greatest decision you've ever made, dear one, and I want to rejoice with you. Please contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and just click on that contact tab and write me an email and say, Tony, oh man, I prayed that prayer with you. Jesus is now Lord of my life, and I'll never be the same again. If you'll do that, I'm going to rejoice with you. I will send you a word of encouragement, and what's more, I will send you a free resource through the mail, postage paid, everything free. I want to rejoice with you and help you get started in this new walk with Christ. You need to tell other people about your decision for Jesus today. Tell people and then get plugged in to a good local church. Go to church next weekend. Become part of God's family and help other people in their walk with Christ and win more souls to Christ yourself. God is good, amen? All the time. Yes. Listen, until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.